Darling Girls, written by Sally Hepworth and read by Jessica Clark. For Jen Enderlin, who made me an author, there will never be enough thank yous in the world. The Office of Dr. Warren, Psychiatrist. Dr. Warren sits in a grey folding chair, one ankle resting on the opposite knee. His suit is brown, his tie red. His thin-rimmed glasses lie against his chest on a chain. When I knock on the open door, he points to the vacant chair facing him, his gaze fixed on an old-school manila folder in his lap. His bald, liver-spotted head is as waxed and shiny as a freshly buffed sports car. "Hello?" I say tentatively. No response. After a brief hesitation, I squeak across the floor in my sneakers and sit. Dr. Warren remains bent over his file. The room is bare apart from the chairs, a pot plant, and a battered wooden coffee table. While I wait for him to acknowledge me, I observe a couple of sparrows pecking at the peeling paint on the windowsill outside. "Excuse me," I say after several minutes, when Dr. Warren still hasn't greeted me. The clock on the wall says 5 past the hour. He looks up, faintly irritated. "Yes." "Are we..." I feel silly. "Going to start?" He looks at the clock, then back at his paperwork. Sighs. "Whenever you like." I haven't seen a therapist before, but this feels a little unorthodox. Perhaps he is one of those therapists who uses unconventional means to bring about a particular result. Like failing to provide a chair because studies have shown that people get to the heart of things faster when they are uncomfortable. Or maybe Dr. Warren is an asshole. "So I just... talk?" "Yes." "About what?" He sighs again. "It's up to you. But I'd suggest that you might want to talk about what happened at Wild Meadows." It shouldn't be jarring, hearing the name of my childhood home spoken in such a familiar way. These days, everyone is familiar with Wild Meadows. The media love the juxtaposition of the whimsical country estate and the atrocities that happened therein. They also love anything to do with foster children. The headlines practically wrote themselves. Wild Meadows or House of Horrors? Secrets buried beneath the Wild Meadows. What's lurking in the Wild Meadows? These headlines have put Wild Meadows on the map. These days, apparently, people even drive up there to see it. Or what's left of it. But while it's a headline or novelty to most, to me it's my life. The place where I learned about loss and shame and hate. "I can't talk about Wild Meadows," I say. "Not yet. Not ever." Dr. Warren leans back in his chair, clearly disappointed. I don't like to disappoint people. And yet, if I just come out with it, he won't understand. No one understands what it was like for me growing up at Wild Meadows. The suffering that woman caused me day after day. The only ones who understand are those who lived it. "Well, we can just sit here if you'd prefer." Then Dr. Warren looks back at his file, which I now realise is folded to conceal a newspaper. It confirms something I'd suspected for most of my life, that no one cares.
1. Jessica.
Jessica!
Jessica had nearly escaped through the magnificent double front doors of Debbie Montgomery Squires' home when she heard her name. She had just finished a room overhaul. 3 hours of painstakingly ordering her clients' bathroom cabinets into a Pinterest-worthy vision of colour-coded, labelled and stackable containers. The result looked spectacular. All of Debbie's friends said so. The fact that all of Debbie's friends were present to say so was the reason she was dangerously close to being late for her next client, even with the extra 15-minute contingency time she built into her schedule. Her first instinct was to keep walking. Nothing vexed Jessica more than tardiness, except perhaps messiness, and people who cut corners, or people who missed RSVP deadlines. Jessica always RSVP'd to invitations the moment they landed in her hand or inbox.